For 80-something years, WGBB has been serving the community with music and talk and stuff. I can't see my radio dial anymore, but I know it's tuned to AM 1240 WGBB Freeport. Now leave me alone. It's 11 o'clock and time for Dave's Gone By. Wait, did I remember to pee? Uh-oh.
There goes the neighborhood.
The guy David Lefkowitz here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, swirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, 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 everybody, on this Memorial Day weekend, this Sunday night, May 25th, 2008, for the 274th episode of Dave's Gone By. So happy to have you with us, if you are with us, if you're not busy eating the carcinogenous charcoal on your barbecue, if you're not getting skin cancerous sun rays on the beach, or if you're not loading your car with ruinously expensive gasoline, then hopefully you're tuned in on WGBB AM 1240 or on the internet live streaming at AM 1240 WGBB.com for Dave's Gone By, where we've been since October of 2002. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, bon vivant, literary person, sort of, and also just a newsy kind of politically person this week anyway, because kind of tying a bunch of things in together on this episode of the show. Now, normally we do a whole mix of comedy and talk radio and interviews and sketches and stuff like that. So, first of all, very excited about our special guest tonight. He is a staffer at the New York Post. And before you all groan and turn off your sets and go find something liberal to calm yourselves down with, remember that there is really no newspaper quite like the New York Post. Whatever you want to say about it, it is kind of the coolest, goofiest tabloid we've got. So they realize that there. I mean, they know. The people who make it, they're not stupid, they're not fools, even though they sometimes write and make choices like they are. But they know what they're doing over there. And a couple of staffers got together under the auspices of the New York Post and said, we've had some of the best, funniest headlines of any newspaper ever. I mean, granted, the Daily News had the famous one, Ford to New York City, drop dead. Fine. And Dewey defeats Truman was I think, the news as well, or maybe even the Times, not sure. But the Post has had the lion's share of wild, wacky, wonderful headlines over the past 30, 40 years. Among them, well, you'll have to stay tuned to find out, but certainly the most famous would be Headless Body in Topless Bar. The most felicitous combination of words and actual event that you could think of. It is just a masterful use of headline space to tell the truth in a beautiful and sick way. Headless Body and Topless Bar, and that is the name of the book that these New York Post people have compiled of all these different headlines. It's kind of a thin coffee table book, and they show the actual blow-ups of the original front pages and the stories with the headlines on them throughout the book, and it's divided into different categories. It's a fun, you know, enjoyable bathroom reader kind of thing to page through, and I'm going to have a lot of fun talking to Chris Shaw, who, as I said, is one of the contributors to Headless Body in Topless Bar. We're also going to go inside Broadway tonight for theater news and stuff that's happening along the Rialto, because the Tonys are only 2 weeks away. Yes, indeed they are. Well, maybe 2.5 weeks. They happen June 15th, right in the middle of June. And so, you know, people are still a little crazy on Broadway. It's still all happening. And even though all the shows have opened for the season, all the voters are running around trying to see everything. They're trying to get all the people from the shows on TV so it's out there so people vote for them. And of course, is all this talk about what will get on the Tonys, what musical numbers will be shown, how much publicity will it give to Broadway, all of that. So it's still pretty exciting times on the Great White Way. And also, I want to talk about the fact that I went to the Drama Desk Awards this past Sunday night. That's why I actually pre-recorded last week's show with the delightful Juliana Hatfield. And I want to thank, first of all, Stephanie for sitting in for me the rest of the night at the radio station. But I want to tell you all about the Drama Desk Awards and how fun those were, and also about a show that I saw last week called From Up Here. It's an off-Broadway show playing at Manhattan Theater Club, and I'm going to let you know whether it's worth seeing, because some folks have chosen it as one of the best plays of the year, and I'll let you know whether I agree. And if that weren't enough, ladies and gentlemen, also on this episode of Dave's Gone By, a segment we have haven't done in quite a while called Dave Goes Off, where I go off on a rant or a topic, kind of like what I'm doing now, only just slightly more coherent and cohesive. And tonight's topic is old people, and the fact that we're hearing quite a lot about them on the news this week. A little sad, actually, a little creepy, but then again, it makes a nice change from all the other usual news we've been hearing about. So stick around for all of that, including a song that I want to dedicate to Ted Kennedy, because, you know, he's obviously having a really terrible week. And when I say that I want to dedicate a song with him to him, I didn't mean this one. Not this one.
Come all you young fellas that's bound after sperm. Come all you young fellas that's rounded the horn.
Now this is a wailing song. I've been torturing my wife all weekend with it because I got a CD out of a library that just looked interesting to me. It was an album of songs from Long Island from 100, 200 years ago, back when Long Island was sparsely populated and it was just fishermen and maritime people. And so this guy named Stan Ransom, who's actually a Long Island librarian, collected these songs and, for better and worse, sings them.
The first whale we saw, it was late in the day. The captain come up and these words he did say. Get into your hammocks and quiet there be. We'll see him in the morning close under our lee.
Lee. Yes, Stan Ransom, ladies and gentlemen. So this is a song called The Coast of Peru that is specifically about whaling. And yes, I could dedicate it to Ted Kennedy, because he does like to do sailing. In fact, the day after his first treatment at the hospital, he went out on a sailboat to show that he was still in good spirits and reasonably good health. So there's a water connection there. But I don't know. My wife will tell you that I probably played this 5 dozen times.
Come all you young fellas that's bound after sperm. Come all you young fellas that's rounded the horn.
What is it about that first line? I don't know. Anyway, what I do know is that this program is brought to you by some wonderful sponsors, including Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. Jeff, who is my usual co-host on this program, he's off in Thailand. He's got a well-earned vacation that he's taking for a couple of weeks. So, you know, I wish him well. I hope he's having a fantastic time. But when he gets back, call him and have him do the balloons and decorating for your party. 516-797-3229. Area code 516-797-3229. Also, you're going to want to go to Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway, located at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Also, Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. It's the Bible of Broadway. And talk about a discount. If you're a Dave's Gone By listener and you subscribe, instead of $175 a year, which is what it costs for 12 issues, it's an expensive little journal, but worth it. It's only $115 a year for Dave's Gone By listeners. Find out more at davesgoneby.org and performingartsinsider.com. Well, we've got so much stuff to do, and so I don't want to take any more time away from doing that, but I'm sorry, I need to hear this one more time. I do. We all do.
Come all you young fellas that's bound after sperm.
Okay, I've heard it. Now I can go to commercial.
If you're like me, you agree that television could always be a little more Jewish. Well, our prayers are answered every Wednesday morning, 7:30, on Cablevision Channel 20, Rabbi Saul Solomon. That's me, host Shalom Dammit. I do Bible studies, sermons, pelvic exercises, whatever I damn well want. See the episodes on YouTube.com, but also 7:30 Wednesday mornings on Cablevision Channel 20. It's Jewish and it's proud.
Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. You know, I was making fun of Stan Ransom singing there, but I kind of go off on go off, too. Anyway, this segment is called Dave Goes Off, where I go off on a topic, a rant, and a theme of my own choosing. And tonight, well, what a long, strange week it's been for the old, the sick, the dying, and the dead. I mean, we'll be talking about funny New York Post headlines, but this week the actual stories have just been weird, running from the just plain sad and fretful to... what in the world? And it's strange how this all happens, that you get a concatenation of events, all involving one kind of behavior or strand connecting them. Like a couple of weeks ago, when every other story in the news was about some politician stooping everyone and anything except the person he was married to, there was the bombshell about Elliot Spitzer and his bombshell. And then, what was it, like 3 days later, the lieutenant governor was talking openly about his affairs, which was even more shocking, not for the sex part, but, come on, the guy's blind and ugly. And he still gets more women than I got through high school, college, and half of my 20s. I mean, all right, it's the power thing, a mature man wielding political clout. I'm sure there's great attraction in that. He's blind. That means he has to use his political aides as wingmen. I mean, what do? Did he train his seeing eye dog to look out for hotties? Divorce blonde at 3 o'clock. I don't know. And even Barbara Walters got in on the act. She writes a book, and of course, no publisher will pay $1 million for a book unless it contains some filthy, reputation-besmirching revelation. So, she admitted in the book that she banged some married senator in the 1970s. She took a little time to enjoy the view, if you know what I'm saying. She could have waited until he was dead. No, had to publish the book. Now she just has to wait until his wife kills him. But whatever, we have had this spate of adulteries week after week, almost day after day on the news, until the news finally got tired and went to look for something else. And this week they found it in the unlikeliest place, the old and infirm, and the deceased. First you had bad news, kind of sad news, about Paul Newman. Paul Newman was set to direct a play in Williamstown, Massachusetts this fall. It was the first play he was ever going to direct. He had directed some movies, but never live theater. And he was going to stage Of Mice and Men in the theater co-managed by his wife, Joanne Woodward. Great. He was all set. And then word came this week that, quote, health issues would keep him from being able to honor his commitment. He wanted to do it, but he just felt he wouldn't be well enough to see the project through. Who knew he was sick? Well, the tabloids kind of did, because they've been speculating, just speculating, that Newman has had cancer for the past several months. He has denied it, his reps have denied it, and any time they were asked about it, any time paparazzi saw him coming out of a doctor's office, they quoted him as saying that the only thing he's being treated for is athlete's foot and hair loss. If only. So, of course, we all wish Paul Newman the best, and hey, let it be athlete's foot and hair loss for another 20 years. But that's probably not where this is heading. Meanwhile, Ted Kennedy goes to the doctor for a bump on his head. It is not a bump. He's 76 years old, and he has a malignant brain tumor. Cancer apparently runs in the Kennedy family, only nobody knows it because the most famous Kennedys die before the disease has a chance. Did you know that two of Ted Kennedy's children battled cancer successfully? I mean, one of them lost his leg, but they're both still alive. And his third kid had a non-cancerous tumor removed when he was 20 years old. So Kennedy and cancer go together like, well, George Bush and OPEC. And, of course, we wish Ted Kennedy well as well. It's not going to be an easy fight. And it's not going to be easy finding such a hard-working, dedicated, staunch but reasonable liberal to replace him in the Senate. The only good thing coming out of this is that now the New York Post, as the aforementioned New York Post, our subject of this evening, especially the cartoonists there, maybe they will finally lay off a little. Hey, Ted Kennedy's obese. Let's make a drawing of how fat he is. That's really trenchant satire. That's all they do. They draw him to make him look like a drowned marshmallow. That's their political statement. Now, if they were to draw him swimming towards a Chevy, that'd be different. Anyway, we also lost Dick Martin. He was 86 years old. Who knew he was that old? Dick Martin from Laugh-In died this weekend as well. So anyway, you've got these people dying and these old-timers possibly on their last legs. And this is all in the public consciousness, especially when Hillary Clinton, remember her? She's still in the presidential race, you know. At least she knows it for some reason. Hillary Clinton makes a bizarre contextual leap when she's trying to explain why she has not bowed out of the contest with Obama. Her point was that calling the race over in mid-May was still premature. Delegates or no delegates, anything can happen. She's won a couple of recent states which have given her momentum, at least in her mind. And what does she have to lose besides other people's money? As one columnist put it, the reason Hillary isn't leaving the 2008 race is to position herself for the 2012 or 2016 race. The longer she stays in, the more she can say, I fought. I took all the brickbats. I stayed in for the long haul, and I never quit. So, 4 years down the line, when we forget some of her lies and miscues and missteps, we might just remember, hey, she had the guts to stay in the front lines of the most demanding, belittling, microscopic, unforgiving contest there is, and she didn't call it quits until they dragged her out. Before, when she said she was a tough fighter, what did people have to go on? That she stayed with her husband after he cheated? People held that against her. That Hillary pursued health care reform as an issue when the Senate and Congress wouldn't give her the time of day? Well, she failed. And that she was in the White House for 8 years? Well, she was First Lady, but not the guy writing the checks, or the checks and balances, for that matter. So maybe that's why Hillary's keeping her name in the game. But the name that she chose to drop this week was another faux pas in a continuing series of Clinton clams. They asked her why she was still standing her ground, and she gave examples saying, hey, this race wasn't decided until June, late June, or that race wasn't decided until the convention. And remember, Bobby Kennedy was shot in June. Now, as dumbass comments go, that was a doozy. But all she meant to say, I'm sure, was that RFK was in the heat of a close contest when that happened. It wasn't like the election was already decided, and we particularly remember that election, at least people of her age and generation, because, tragically, RFK got blasted in the middle of it. Now, why was he on her brain? Well, I'm not a big Vanity Fair reader, but if you glance at the newsstands, you'll notice that the brand new issue, out right now, has a huge picture of Bobby Kennedy on the cover. They're showing never-before-seen photographs of his 1968 race against Lyndon Johnson, and they're quoting from a new book that's going to be in all the stores about it called The Last Good Campaign. So you think Hillary Clinton just might have seen a copy of Vanity Fair in some airport somewhere and thought, oh, yeah, he was running late in that campaign, too. I mean, it was a stupid thing to say, but it's just another non-issue in a whole political ocean of non-issues this year. But age and dying and debilitation are definitely on the brain this week. John McCain went to the doctor, and since he's 71 and had cancer, there's that word again, everybody is wondering, well, how is he? How is he? Because at the first sign of any medical abnormality, the Republicans still have a chance to throw him over and get someone else. Doctors even went out of their way to explain why John McCain has such a weird jawline. It's because they removed the tumor from his cheek lymph nodes back in 2000. He's totally cancer-free now, but because they took soft tissue out of his mouth, it now looks like one side of his jaw is puffier than the other. I wonder how long before some enterprising blogger buys the domain rights for jawwatch2008.org. Just a series of daily pictures of McCain making sure one side of his face doesn't start growing again. That's where we've come to in modern-day politics and media. Although, granted, McCain's 71 is not 21 or 31 or 51, and sometimes our elderly do need to be kept an eye on. This was also the week Peter Falk, beloved Peter Falk of Colombo, went for a walk in Beverly Hills. And, well, did you see those pictures? I did not see video of it. I don't know if there is any. But he was stumbling around, waving his hands, yelling and mumbling. Kind of like me after a Saturday night. But the pictures are pretty scary. And the shot I saw, he's got this too tight button-down checked shirt on that's open at his somewhat protuberant belly. And you can see the rim of his boxers over his corduroy pants and the front tail of his boxers poking through the half zipper of the pants. In other words, if you did not know that he was Peter Falk, this would be the guy you gently lead back to the home for 2 o'clock bingo and Xanax. Now, maybe he was working on a new movie role. Crazy old man who yells and flails. Maybe he took apart his Vinny the Chin Gigante, and he's researching by testing it out in public. Falk did come from that era of Cassavetes and Brando and living the role. Or maybe old Peter shouldn't have eaten that mushroom pizza at Don Wells' house. But either way, I hope it was nothing, and he was just having a bad hair day, and a bad shirt day, and a bad pants day, and a bad mind day, and a bad... Well, you get the point. I have to say, all these stories about the aged do make for a nice change from teen pop star pregnancies and political sexcapades. In fact, they almost made me completely forget about little things like $4 a gallon for gas and home heating oil, higher supermarket prices for bread and coffee and snacks and fruits and vegetables, higher airline prices and worse service and hidden fees for luggage and rising unemployment and consumer fear and higher electric bills and, God damn it. Can some famous old guy do something goofy? I need it. Anyway, we'll be back after this little tune dedicated to Ted. I've got a tumor in my head. I've got a tumor in my head at my doctor's urging. I went to see a surgeon. Tumor in my head. I've got a tumor in my head. Although I can't feel it, the CAT scans reveal it. Tumor in my head. I've got a tumor in my head. There's no good humor when they say it's a tumor. Tumor in my head. I've got a tumor in my head. It's a crazy mania running through my crania. Tumor in my head. I've got a tumor in my head. If you can't use a laser, nick it with the razor. Tumor in my head, I've got a tumor in my head. First it was benign, I felt fine. Now it is malignant, Boy, am I indignant. Tumor in my head, I got a tumor in my head. My temperature's febrile, totally cerebral. Tumor in my head, I've got a tumor in my head. It's horribly painful, I've got a whole brain full. Tumor in my head, I've got a tumor in my head. The doctors can't cure me, all they won't insure me. Tumor in my head, I've got a tumor in my head. Cerebellum sodomy is worse than a lobotomy. Tumor in my head, I've got a tumor in my head. I wish there was an answer to this cancer. First I suffer illness, then a stillness, then I'm dead from a tumor in my head. I've got a tumor in my head. It's a tumor in my head. I've got a tumor in my head. There's a tumor in my head. I've got a tumor in my head. Got a tumor in my head. What's black and white and red all over? Photocopies made at Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway. Any job that you have, including black and white copies, and they've got a brand new color copier, great quality, good prices, wonderful family that has owned Hewlett Minuteman Press since the 1970s. So check them out, 516-569-5577, Hewlett Minuteman Press. They're the kings. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I'm going to say a phrase, and I will bet you know this phrase and have heard of it and even know where it came from. The phrase is, headless body in topless bar. Does that, aside from bringing a smile to your face of just the sheer cleverness and audacity of it, I'm sure you realize that was a headline in a newspaper about an actual story, and that there's only really one place a headline like that would have appeared. Wasn't in the New York Times, that's for sure. Wasn't in the Wall Street Journal, although if Rupert changes the Wall Street Journal in every way, it just might be sometime. But no, that is a New York Post headline. And whatever you want to say about that newspaper, it does have a style and a moxie all its own. I guess it's the first time I've used that word in a while. But they've actually compiled a book of classic New York Post headlines and front pages and even headlines that aren't necessarily on the front page, just because every once in a while they're so jaw-droppingly funny, or just you cannot believe A, someone thought of it, and B, it got through editorial and landed on the front page in people's hands. And now they've compiled them all into a book called Headless Body in Topless Bar, the best headlines from America's favorite newspaper. Okay, a little bit of audacity right there. But anyway, one of the people, the many people who compiled that book is Chris Shaw. I wanted to get him on the air here and talk about the putting together of that book and the way headlines are done at the Post, and all sorts of cool journalistic stuff like that. So, Chris Shaw, welcome to the Daverhood.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's good to be here.
Did you notice Daverhood? That's the kind of thing that I do. It's like, I'm Dave. Dave's Gone By Daverhood. See, that's a posty sort of a thing to do.
You know what, Dave? There are a lot of people out there who could be good headline writers. It sounds like you might be one of them.
Well, okay. I'll send my resume tomorrow. But before we get to that, of course, the idea for the book just seems like such a natural. But who had the initial idea to compile all this?
Honestly, it was the publishers over at HarperCollins. They came to us, and we had talked about it for years. In fact, Laura Harris, who is our chief librarian at the Post, had been wanting to do this for 20 years and had been saving these in her drawer and waiting for this phone call to come. And they contacted me, and I said, I've got the perfect person to help me with this. And we took it off from there, and we had a blast doing it, putting it together, going around the newsroom, calling former employees, soliciting their opinions. And once we put it together, narrowing down the choice, we had to cut it down to about 180, I think 200 headlines in the book. It was really difficult. And then after we submitted all the headlines that were in there, we kept producing better ones, and we would go back to them and say, wait, have you started printing yet? Right, we have more we want to put in. I think there's another one coming soon.
This is a brand new book, and I was kind of shocked. I was thumbing through it, and I saw when Governor McGreevy had that thing where he announced he was gay and cheating and Golan Sipple and all that. And I said, oh, my God, this is a recent book. And then I looked at the headline, and it was from 2004. Didn't even feel that long ago that went on.
It's incredible. But he started the spate of incredible stories involving our local governors, didn't he?
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, do you remember what this was too recent, but what did you guys do for Spitzer?
Well, we did on day one. The headline was just a very simple "ho no,"
yeah.
And I'll tell you, Dave, we constantly receive phone calls, emails from our readers with suggestions for headlines.
I believe it.
It happens all the time, but I've never seen anything like it. Like the Spitzer story.
Mine would have been "eat her yes, Spitzer no." I don't know what that means.
Well, the most popular one that I can say on the radio,
yeah,
was Elliot Mess.
that's good.
Yeah, that must have come in from many, many people, but it didn't stop, and people were calling me, were emailing me, and they were saying, we're having contests in our office right now to see if we can get this one. You got to use this one. You got to use this one. It was incredible how many people wanted to get involved.
Did you use Elliot Mess?
No, we didn't.
You
might
not.
You know what? Looking back, we may have. It's just, you know, we ended up getting some saucy pictures of the prostitute that he was involved in, and it kind of took a life of its own.
So the hoe made more sense on that.
It did.
Wow. Well, that is pretty good, though. So what are some of the headlines that did make the book Headless Body and Topless Bar?
Well, I mean, there's about 180 of them that are in there. We just put a poll up on our website over the last 2 weeks.
And if you've ever been polled, you know just how painful that can be.
Yes.
Little letterman. Yeah.
We picked what we thought were about the 32 most popular ones, at least from our conversations. And we asked readers to vote on them.
Uh-huh.
And they narrowed down to what we called our final four, and it was voted on over the last week. And the ones that were the most popular were, as expected, Headless Body and Topless Bar.
Uh-huh.
Holy Shiite, which was about the Newsweek, when Newsweek printed a story and then subsequently retracted it, of the Koran being flushed down the toilet.
Oh, that was I didn't realize that story was retracted.
Yes, wow. It was retracted.
Whoops. And by the way, before we get to the next one then, was that really, really tough to get on the front page?
No.
That one, they just sort of blinked and said, oh, yeah, I can't believe that.
It was perfect, and it was the perfect combination of visual, as we literally put Newsweek in a toilet in there, and then the headline, it was perfect. Look, Dave, we're on speed dial for a lot of organizations, and they're going to come after us. And we understand that. Yes, sometimes we're going to push the envelope, so to speak, and we're going to get some comments, but we just kind of go for it. So, Holy Shiite was that one.
Mm-hmm.
A very recent one, which I was very surprised to see, which was Bad Air Day. Now, that was a picture of Brooke Astor's son, after the courts had ruled that he wasn't going to get any money, and his hair is literally flying up in the wind. It almost looks like he has a wig on. That one made it in there, and of course now I'm going to forget.
Why were you surprised that made it?
I thought it was very clever. I just thought there were some more classic ones, like Wacko Jacko Backo, when Michael Jackson had returned.
Oh.
And
I liked the Mike Tyson one, Bite of the Century.
Fantastic.
That's brilliant, yeah.
I mean, and that one we came up with, I mean, that was about 12:30 at night. I happened to be working that night. I was in the sports department back then. And that was about 12:30 at night, and we were probably had 40,000 papers left to print, and we smacked it on the presses and got it on there. I thought it described it wonderfully. One of my personal favorites was Snake on a Plane, right after the movie came out, and it was a picture of John Mark Carr.
That pedophile kind of weirdo.
Exactly,
guy, yeah.
flying back from the Far East to here. And the one of the classic ones, too, was Donald Trump, when he was first dating Marla Maples. We had a quote from her, and the headline was, "The best sex I ever had." And we have a picture of Donald Trump with this cat that ate the canary grin.
Right,
it was just a wonderful combination. So it was just interesting to see what the readers thought, but it's been a ton of fun, and the reaction has been great.
Sponsor me. Dave's gone by. Run your ad. Folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
This is Chris Shaw from the New York Post and one of the co-authors of Headless Body and Topless Bar, and you are listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport.
We're talking with Chris Shaw, who is one of the main authors or compilers.
I am, yes.
Who was the other main impetus? What was her name?
Well, Laura Harris is our librarian,
mm-hmm.
and we lean very heavily on Barry Gross, who is the chief copy desk editor. So he's the one ultimately responsible for all the headlines you see on in the inside of the newspaper. That's his team that he runs. And a couple copy editors, Rob Walsh and John Blackwell, who work specifically with him. And then again, we went back to other people in the newsroom. Vinnie Musetto, who's one of our film critics,
oh, yeah.
wrote the headline, Headless Body and Topless Bar.
That was a Musetto? Oh, wow.
Yep. And Vinnie's very funny about it these days. He wishes that people would forget it was him, because he loves the headline and he's proud of it, but he's more proud of his work as a film critic. And so.
And nobody quotes that ever.
Exactly.
And then reading it, it's like, oh, wow, that's what he thought. And then, boom, I know that feeling. Let me ask also, though, are there other examples of headlines, they don't have to even be recent, that were really wonderful but too risque to pop in, you know, be in the front page, or maybe they had to be hidden?
Sure, I understand. I mean, the bigger problem we have, honestly, is that we'll get a great headline that someone will come up with, but it literally won't fit properly on the page.
Ooh.
That's what people, I don't think, appreciate about how difficult it is to do headline writing is. So there could be a great story, and you can come up with the funniest, punniest phrase to go with it, but if it's 10 words long, right, and it just doesn't work. So that's why I'm in such awe of Barry and his team, who every night are able not only to come up with these terrific headlines, but they write them in the tightest fashion possible, right? We're a tabloid newspaper. We have very small specs, is what we call it in the newsroom, that they can write to. So you think like doing the Times crossword is hard. Try this every night.
So it's only got to be like 6 or 7 words, and that's
at the most.
Whoa, okay.
At the most. I mean, sometimes you're talking about you could have as few as 10 characters that you can use in here. I mean, we are very large headlines, so the point size is extreme. So it's an incredibly difficult job, and they do a wonderful job. And they're doing about 80 to 90 headlines a night on the inside of the paper.
Well, I think that the gold standard of all this, even before Headless Body, was from Variety, where some genius, I don't know, did they ever... it's great that, you know, Musetto wrote that headline, that there's someone who actually has that credit. It's like a Samuel Goldwynism. But we all know the Variety Sticks, Hicks, Nicks, Picks. Oh, no, Sticks, Nicks, Hicks, Picks.
Right.
Which is the very famous one about people in the hinterlands not going for Ma and Pa Kettle type pictures. And they just got it in 4 words,
mm-hmm.
all with alliterative rhyme. So is that what you all shoot for?
Sometimes. I just think the thing we shoot for first and foremost is we're trying to get you to read the story, Dave.
Mm.
Right? That is the ultimate goal. Whether it's on the front page, we saw a lot of newspapers on the street. And we do have to catch your eye.
Do you get a bump when you have a really great headline? Do you notice the subscription, the newsstand sales jump?
It can help a little bit. The thing that's going to jump the most is a good story. So when you get the combination, and Spitzer's obviously the most recent example for us, but when you get a combination of a great headline like we did, and Oh No really captured everyone's attention, but it was the story really that pushed it, and that'll carry on all week long. I mean, that can go for days. So it can really help.
Now, there have been once in blue moons where I have noticed that both the Post and your nemesis, the Daily News, have the same cute headline. Is there any way you don't have spies back and forth who make sure that, that nobody has the same idea twice? Because that is a very possible thing to happen.
Sure. It'll happen a handful of times a year, whether on the front page or the back page. And there's even been a couple nights, and I just don't remember what the headlines were specifically, where we've had the same on the front and the back.
Oh, wow.
And yes, there are spies, and each newspaper looks at the other person's newspapers every night about midnight. And there have been times where we've had an editor-in-chief call up and say, change it because I don't want to have the same as them.
And we've seen
them do the same to us. But it's kind of happenstance. You know, if it happens, it happens.
It's never intentional. It's just people coming up with a pretty, like, oh, yeah, of course, that's got to be the headline.
No.
Right,
but what is intentional in the business is you will see that one of the newspapers in town may have a story in an earlier edition, and then you will somehow see that same story or a rewritten version of that story appear in the other person's paper later on that night.
Oh, sure.
That happens all the time.
You know, that's where you get the news. I did journalism for about 5.5 years at a theater website. It was a theater news-oriented website. And sure, we were digging up our own stories, but also constantly checking for the New York Times, for Theater Mania, for Broadway.com, for all those places. And if we saw something, we'd try and get the story. If we couldn't, it would be like, reported by,
yep.
And we'd get up there as quickly as possible and then go and get our own quotes and fact-check it. But it was more important to get the story out there first, you know?
Sure, and in the Internet age, it's happening more and more. I mean, no one's really holding anything back anymore, Dave. I mean, we're putting everything up live, real time.
Have you had recent examples where that was kind of a mistake? Like, you know, whoops?
No, we haven't had that. But I'll tell you a funny story, which is in the book, about mistakes.
Sure.
And that is, we wrote a headline back in, I think it was the two elections ago, where we went out and said that John Kerry's choice for his vice presidential nominee was going to be Dick Gephardt. And we thought we had it from an impeccable source, and we went to print with it, and we were on the street the next morning, and about 11 o'clock in the morning, it wasn't Dick Gephardt. And we knew we were going to get hammered on this one. So we had all day long to figure out how are we going to kind of run a correction about this, right? There was a couple ways we could do it. We could run a couple paragraphs like the Times might on page 2. But instead what we did was we wrote the exact same headline, same presentation, but
yeah,
just changed one word, and that was the name of whom the nominee was. And we received great reaction to that because we just poked some fun at ourselves, and we kept a sense of humor about the whole thing. And you know, I think that's what we try to do with the Post, is we do try to keep everything a little bit light and make you smile a little bit.
Well, did people laugh at it, or were they just in the sense that you didn't really quite acknowledge that you boo-booed? And, well, maybe that is an acknowledgement that it was a boo-boo.
It was hard not to be an acknowledgement. I mean, it was on page 1, and it was all over the place, and believe me, it was AP picked it up, and they were running the two front pages next to each other around the world. So, no, I think that they got it. I think that it went over pretty well.
Did you ever have any howler kind of things that Leno would pick up for his headlines where you noticed a misprint? And probably not on the front page, but some really bad grammatical or silly error?
You know, not that I can specifically think of, but I can tell you that we are certainly we are a lot of fodder for Leno, really specifically Letterman. He has a ton of fun with us at all the times. And the person who actually has the most, not even fun with us, is Dick Wolf with his Law and Order series, who all the time is just riffing on what we've written in the newspaper. He gets all of his ideas from us, and he's very quick to credit us, so we thank him for it. But it's, you know, he's really, we've helped him out. I think we've probably created a couple shows for him.
Oh, that's marvelous. These are the Daves, my friend, the perfect radio blend of comedy, talk radio, and more. Yes, these are the Daves. More than 185 episodes of Dave's Gone By for your listening pleasure. Long drive home? Pop in a Dave. In the mood for a funny sketch? Pop in a Dave. All CDs come in jewel cases with full packaging, just $11. New low price, same free shipping and handling. Add a dollar, and I'll autograph the cover. Don't know which episode? Visit davesgoneby.org or email davesgoneby@aol.com and ask for the CD list. These are the Daves, my friend. Makes a great gift to send. Give them a try if you love Dave's Gone By.
This is Chris Shaw from the New York Post, one of the co-authors of Headless Body and Topless Bar, and you are listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport.
Chris Shaw, who is one of the main co-authors of Headless Body and Topless Bar. By the way, where can people get this New York Post headline compilation book?
Well, they can get it at any of the major bookstores, at a Barnes & Noble, or they can get it online through Amazon, or they can actually go to our website, www.nypost.com, and you can order it through there.
So it's an official New York Post book. It's put out by HarperCollins, so it has the blessing of Rupert and all that.
Indeed.
Cool. Cool. Let me ask you a couple of things more generically or generally about the New York Post and also your place in it. What kind of stories do you normally cover?
Okay, well, I mean, my title now at the newspaper is Vice President of Digital Media. I was the managing editor for 6 years, and that's where I spent a lot of time on what we call the backbench and working on the headlines and sitting in the editorial meetings daily. And so I was very involved in this process for a long time, and it was great, great fun. I now spend the majority of my time working on our digital properties and looking to the future of the newspaper.
Nice. Okay. Let me ask the other question about the Post, and I guess everybody's kind of curious. I personally know that not everybody working there is right-wing Republican. What would you say the balance is of people who are really feel what the newspaper's stand is and folks who are just writing towards what the newspaper's slant is, even if they're not necessarily as right?
I understand the question.
Yeah.
Look, we're as large a newspaper as we are. I think we're the fifth largest newspaper in the country. We sell over 700,000 newspapers a day. We're a very small staff comparatively. I mean, we're about half to a third of the size of the Times, probably 60% of the size of the staff of the Daily News. And really what we are is a small, hungry group of very competitive people.
Mm-hmm.
And who go about their own jobs and appreciate, I think, the difference that our opinion pages bring to the paper every day. It makes us stand out in the market a little bit. We are the only ones, certainly in the city, who voices these opinions. And I just think that, you know, for the most part, the reporters, and they just don't get involved in that. They're more interested in their own beats and making sure they've got the best stories they can do. And honestly, it's nothing that they overtly think about. They're just going about their own jobs.
Okay. I don't, on a lot of levels, necessarily agree with the Post, but at the same time, it is the most fun paper to read. If I want sports, I'm going to read Phil Mushnick,
who
has been on this program. If I want, I, as a theater person, I will read Michael Riedel religiously. He's a friend of mine also, and he's been on the show. But, you know, that's the column everybody I know turns to on Wednesdays and Fridays because he's digging the dirt that nobody else is. And it's just more fun for some reason to read the Post than all the others.
Well, we like to think so. And look, we're often imitated, but we don't think anyone has really got it down right. I mean, I have incredible respect for my editor-in-chief. His name is Carl Allen. And his tabloid sensibility in terms of his understanding of that, what he's trying to find every single day are stories that are going to interest readers. He encourages his staff to not only go about stories, obviously, the right way, but to find the stories that people are going to be interested in. He really thinks that we work for the readers as opposed to the other way around. And it's a very different way to edit a newspaper, but it's been a successful one for us. And honestly, I mean, even the last 5 years, it's a difficult business, and we're a newspaper that has grown from 440,000 circulation to 700,000 circulation.
Ooh. Nice.
So,
and it's not like Newsday where, you know, half that circulation is floating in the river in bags.
That's right.
So I had to get that dig in there. We're finishing our chat, our delightful chat with Chris Shaw, who is a co-author of Headless Body and Topless Bar, the best headlines from America's favorite newspaper, a.k.a. the New York Post. Give us a couple more examples from the book of headlines that you cherish over the years.
Well, I'll tell you, one I liked that I personally was involved in, and was we had thought a long time about what are we going to do when Barry Bonds hits his 756th home run. We do feel a responsibility, Dave, sometimes that we kind of have to get this right, that people are going to be looking to us. And it was an idea I actually had thought of, and whether it worked or not, I have no idea, but I still liked it. We wrote the number 756 in syringes. on page one. And that was it. That was the only headline. So the next morning when everyone woke up, they had watched SportsCenter, they had whatever, they knew it happened, but that's all you saw. Huge, probably at 500-point syringes, 756.
For that alone, the New York Post should live and be well. Even when it enrages me, even when I'm like, you know, lay off the Clintons already. I mean, not Hillary, but Bill at least, you know.
Right.
That was 8 years ago. Hello, get over it. he was a lot better than our current. But anyway, still gotta love the Post. And gotta love this new book, Headless Body and Topless Bar, from HarperCollins, William Morrow imprint. And also thanking so much Chris Shaw for bringing these headlines to the Daverhood.
Thank you, Dave.
On June 14th, the night before the Tonys, catch the 4th annual WGBB Tony Awards special, hosted by Dave Lefkowitz, that's me, of Dave's Gone By, co-hosted by theater critic Jeff Goodman and Michael Riegel of the New York Post. We'll hear other critics make predictions, show tunes from Xanadu, Young Frankenstein, and more, quizzes, ticket giveaways, all on Saturday, June 14th, 7:30 to 10 p.m., the Tony Special on WGBB, the station that serves your theatrical community. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, we go inside Broadway pretty much every week here on Dave's Gone By because we love the arts so much, and especially this time of year, getting so close to the Tony Awards, everything's still kind of popping on Broadway. But we're also talking about what will be happening on Broadway next season already because the plans are in the works. I guess the biggest story in the news this week coming out of Broadway is that, yes, it's official, Katie Holmes is going to be making her Broadway debut, best known as Tom Cruise's wife and life partner and possibly almost Scientologist, depending on how they're raising the kids. Well, she's an actress, of course. And she, along with John Lithgow, Patrick Wilson, and Diane Wiest, will be in a revival of Arthur Miller's All My Sons. This was Miller's first successful play on Broadway. He had one other show called The Man Who Had All the Luck, which wasn't bad, but was a flop when they first did it. And then they ended up bringing it back to Broadway many, many years later, just a few years ago. Turned out to be not so bad. But this was the show that first made his name before Death of a Salesman, before Crucible, before The Price. It was All My Sons, and it's all about a man who makes a morally wrong decision and pays for it in tragedy. And it won the Tony Award in 1947. Now, John Lithgow, well, he comes back to Broadway pretty often. He was in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and M. Butterfly, and he's even doing a solo show for families right now at Lincoln Center called Stories by Heart. Well, some sad news off Broadway. I Love You, You're Perfect is now changing. It's actually going. The show, after all these years, 12 years, playing at the West Side Theater, 5,003 performances it will have played by July 27th, but it will play no more. They're finally ending I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change. So you have just a couple more weeks to see this review about couples and dating and marriage and all that kind of stuff from Joe DiPietro and Jimmy Roberts. Now, here's another thing that's coming to Broadway. Frank Langella, he's coming back. Now, his last turn on Broadway was just two or three seasons ago in Nixon's Nixon. Very, very good show where he won the Tony Award for his amazing portrayal of Richard Nixon being interviewed by David Frost. Well, now he's going back to an older play called A Man for All Seasons. Really a classic play of its kind by Robert Bolt. Doug Hughes is going to direct it, and the Roundabout Theater is going to stage it in October at the American Airlines Theater. And in A Man for All Seasons, Frank Langella will be playing the role of Sir Thomas More. He's the English Chancellor who has some kind of religious and moral backbone, so he has some problems with the way Henry VIII is conducting his marriages. Oh, and speaking of which, it's kind of interesting. I don't know if it's all intentional or what, but Paul Scofield, whom we all know as the Thomas More in A Man for All Seasons. He just passed a couple of weeks ago, so this will be kind of an homage to him, assumedly, when Frank Langella comes into play in that show in the fall. And gotta remind you also, one bit of theater news that involves me directly, the 4th annual WGBB Tony Award Special will take place Saturday, June 14th from 7:30 until 10 p.m. I'm hosting, as I have for the past three or four times, and my co-hosts are going to be Jeff Goodman, he'll be back from Thailand, and speaking of the New York Post, Michael Riedel. See, this is where we tie everything together on this program. So Michael and Jeff are going to be my co-hosts. I'm going to be interviewing a couple of different critics and asking them what their picks are for the various Tony Award categories and what they think other people will vote for. And there'll be prizes. We've got, we have a pair of tickets to opening night at the Broad Hollow Theater. They're doing The Boyfriend, and a couple of packages from I think Young Frankenstein gave us a gift package to give away. Some really cool prizes, too. And we're going to be playing all sorts of show tunes. It's going to be great. Mark your calendars. It's the night before the Tony Awards. Saturday night, June 14th, 7:30 p.m. on WGBB, the Tony Awards special. Don't miss it. Oh, and to help you get through that show and through the Tony Awards to know what's going on with it, you really need to get yourself a copy of Performing Arts Insider. What's that, you say? Ho, ho, ho. Well, just listen. There is a season, turn, 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 turn the pages of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, because this is the season for Broadway. All the big shows are opening in the next few weeks. Learn about them all. For 64 years, Performing Arts Insider has been the Bible of Broadway. Find out why by going to PerformingArtsInsider.com. Subscriptions are 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. So turn, turn, turn to Performing Arts Insider for every show under heaven. And I had a pretty heavenly time last Sunday at the Drama Desk Awards. It was kind of cool. A friend of mine was in from Milwaukee, a critic out there named Ann Siegel, and she was kind enough. She had a spare ticket to the Drama Desks and took me as her date and had a pretty fine time. It was a quick show, 2 hours and 15 minutes, no intermission. Not like the Oscars, where it's 4.5 hours. Not even like the Tonys that are spread out over 3 hours. So they really zipped through it. I guess one thing, though, that they cut out in order to do that is a lot of the musical numbers. So basically the only numbers in between all the presentations and the speeches were done by the cast of Title of Show, a cute little off-Broadway show that is coming to Broadway this fall. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that again. And they were very entertaining. It was a very light and amusing way of piecing the show together. But I still kind of missed. It would have been nice to have one or two production numbers from some of the nominated shows. But at the same time, this was the first year in a couple of years that the Drama Desk Awards were not telecast. They were shown on TheaterMania.com, I believe, and maybe one other place, but New York One wasn't showing them. PBS didn't have it. So there was kind of a lesser scale to this one. But I didn't mind. Had a lot of fun seeing who was there. James Earl Jones was there, and Lawrence Fishburne, who won for Solo, was there, and he credited him, and he looked at James Earl Jones in the audience and said, "Without you, I wouldn't be here." And it was kind of nice. So I want to thank Anne for bringing me to that. I don't have time, unfortunately, to review the show from up here tonight at Manhattan Theater Club. I'll get more into it next week, but I will say, kind of worth seeing. I can't really give it a very strong thumbs up, but I'm glad I saw it. So kind of make up your own mind on that one. Get into more specifics next week. But now, got to do a couple more commercials and then get on out of here. So we'll be back with the final moments of Dave's Gone By right after this little piece of song and messages. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Did you know that I, Dave, am not just a fantastic radio personality, I'm also a playwright, and my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, is filled with the same humor I bring to Dave's Gone By every week. Funny, sad, true. Makes a great gift
Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback. To get your copy, call 516-295-1511 or email davesgoneby@aol.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Goodman, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Dave's Gone By. Dave's Gone By.
Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport, 1240 AM.
Well, isn't that cool? I got these new interstitials and bumper kind of music from a friend of mine named Dave J. You can find out more about his work at davej.com, I think it is. It might be davej.org, D-A-V-E-J-A-Y. He does all these commercial and jingle kind of things, and he does them really nicely. So, yeah, I'm going to give him a plug for doing that for me, and I'm going to play that pretty much every week, because it's so nice, isn't it? Anyway, also very nice to this program are our sponsors, Hewlett-Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway. 10% off all jobs, big or small, at Hewlett-Minuteman Press. 569-5577 is their number. 569-5577 in Hewlett, Long Island. Also, shout out to Fancy Schmancy Balloons. 516-797-3229. 797-3229 for all your party decorating needs. They do balloon archways. They also do the centerpieces and those whole themes for things like bar mitzvahs and christenings and graduation parties. You know, those are going to be coming up. Easter parties. Whatever party you've got coming up, big or small, give Jeff a call. 797-3229, area code 516. Now, Jeff, who is the Jeff Goodman, who's also a co-host very often on this program, he's in Thailand for another week or two. So once he gets back, call him. He'll do your party. Come on, get him. Definitely got to do it. And if you mention Dave's Gone By, I know that you'll get a really special discount from him. Also, this program is brought to you by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway. Remember that Dave's Gone By listeners get a huge discount on their annual subscriptions. It's normally $175 a year for 12 issues. It's a very expensive but worthwhile journal, but you guys can have it for just $115. Go to performingartsinsider.com for more information about the journal and davesgoneby.org for more information about this show and all the cool things you can get and the discounts you can get at our sponsors, davesgoneby.org. I want to remind everybody that Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour airs every Wednesday and Friday, both Wednesday and Friday at 7:30 a.m. on Woodbury Cable Vision, Channel 115, Channel 115. And also, you can watch it every Sunday afternoon at 1:30 if you're in Manhattan on the MNN Cable Network. And also, they stream it at MNN.org. Plus, you can see all the episodes anytime on YouTube.com. And hopefully in a couple of weeks, we'll have some new episodes for you as well. Want to remind everybody a couple of things. Gary Lucas will be at the Bowery Poetry Club with his band Gods and Monsters June 20th. Richard Skipper is going to be playing Carol Channing, as he always does, but he's going to be doing it in a production of Hello, Dolly, one night only at the Paramount Theater in Asbury Park, June 14th. It's a benefit for the Revision Theater Company. Tickets are pretty cheap. They go from $15 to $50 for this benefit, and the cast will be a mix of Broadway veterans and local New Jersey performers. That's June 14th at the Paramount Theater in Asbury Park for Richard Skipper and Hello, Dolly. And don't miss Chris Smither. He was a guest on this show about 3 years ago. Wonderful folk and blues guitarist and singer. He'll be playing with Sonny Landreth at the Rockin' the River Cruise off Pier 83 on August 20th. More information at rtrcruises.com. If you want to write to me, if you want to tell me about this show, suggestions, complaints, all of it goes to davesgoneby@aol.com. D-A-V as in Victor. I always get stuck there. D-A-V as in Victor, E-S-G-O-N-E-B-Y at AOL.com. Now, a couple of other quick reminders that you can still listen to 25 old classic episodes of Dave's Gone By. at my website, davesgoneby.org. Don't forget that you've got about 20 shows now, recent shows, new shows, podcast, and streaming at the WGBB website, AM 1240, WGBB.com. So check that out. And also, listen for me on this station doing the music show Filler Up a couple of times a week. Have to go to the website, AM1240WGBB.com, to find that, but it's definitely, I think, worth your while. Time for the thank yous. Thank you so much to Chris Shaw and the folks at the New York Post for setting all that up and being on the program. Get your copy of Headless Body in Topless Bar today. I want to give a shout-out to Jeff Goodman in Thailand, and thank you, as always, to my beloved and delightful and marvelous wife, Joyce, and a shout-out to my lovely and wonderful mom and dad, Lefkowitz, as well. In the coming weeks, we've got, oh, so many great guests coming up. Bruce Kluger, the satirist, writer for USA Today and a bunch of other places, and the co-author of Young Dick Cheney, that funny book. Also, a guy I went to school with who is a very talented Broadway and cabaret songwriter, Charles Bloom. We also got Stephen Verona coming up. He is the guy who produced and directed the movie The Lords of Flatbush. So many interesting and neat stuff, and stuff I'm not even going to tell you about because I don't have time. Because, as the New York Post might put it, it's time for us to hide that missing co-ed, because that's the kind of Bill Clinton-loving thugs that we are. But I will be back next Sunday, June 1st, 2008. Wow, the 1st of June, with the 275th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you good night. Uh-oh, I've got to play this one more time before I go. I have to. I'm sorry. Just so it's in your heads.
Come all you young fellas that's bound after sperm.
Okay, I feel better now. And I can say good night, good news, and gone by.
The paper in the evening, I watch the news. I sit there in my armchair, I stare, flip, switch, peruse stories and the pictures. For me, there's no escape. I read all about it. See it live, see it on tape. It's there in living color. It's plain in black and white. Things just go on happening. They go wrong, things aren't right. The paper. In the evening, I watch the news.